We are two women in academia,
raising questions and breaking down perceptions
from a Black point of view.
Welcome to the Black Gaze
Podcast.
It's your girl, Dr. Porcher.
And it's your girl, Dr. Bertrand.
Friend.
You did. I said, come on, countdown. Come on, countdown. Come on, video. Listen.
You won't break my soul.
And listen, you know, I'm not going to sing because, you know, my voice already kind of messed up. But friend, listen. One, I know that this episode is about to be amazing, but because the enemy just been busy, all the tech issues, all the things been happening, but it's all to the G, right? It's all to the G.
It's all to the G.
And listen, I just wanted, before we even get started, we just took a pause. We didn't even let the folks know we was taking a pause. We just took a pause.
Sometimes it be like that, okay?
Sometimes it be like that, but I want to encourage other people, like, not to feel like you have to provide information about why you're taking a pause and how you're taking a pause. Because, you know, sometimes we like to announce these types of things on social media, but we know y'all love Black Gaze and we thank y'all for being patient with us. We done went to see Beyonce. We done been to Italy. We done been all over the world, but we literally took a break this summer. But
we needed it.
We are back. We are back. We are back.
And we better. We back and we better.
And we better, y'all. And we got a whole, like, we really are pushing our YouTube page. So look at us. We on video. Look at us.
We on video.
And we cute.
But we ain't by ourselves. We ain't by ourselves.
We got ourselves, friends. So can you tell the people what we going to be talking about today? What are we talking about today?
Let me tell you. First of all, let me just, because we got new features. And for those of you who are listening, you're definitely going to need to tap into our YouTube page. But we are talking about Black reproductive justice with Kay Caulkill.
But listen, let me tell you something. Before I even, you
know. Don't that sound professional, though?
And I love the way it just came up on the screen, like, okay. So the one thing that I want to say about them, because they use they, them pronouns.
They, okay. Them Beyonce.
They, them Beyonce. Okay, and we went to see Beyonce.
Okay.
So I just want to encourage people to go after what you know. Kay literally just jumped on our feed like, I'm trying to be on the Black Gaze Podcast.
And it's a wealth of knowledge, like a boss.
Knowledge and amazing. And so I just want to encourage other people before I introduce Kay, like only I can. I want to encourage other people that if there's something on your heart, if there's something that you want to do, go after it. Like, don't wait for people to pick you. You go ahead and say, listen, I got something to bring to the table and I'm about to what? Invite myself. Okay. And invite so you. Let me tell y'all about Kay Caulkill. Kay Caulkill is an abortion doula, and I'm so excited to talk about this because I've never heard of this, right? Yeah. Is an abortion doula based in Richmond, Virginia, and on the Richmond Reproductive Freedom Project Board. They are a PhD candidate that studies digital Black girlhood studies in hip hop and an adjunct professor. Come on, adjunct professor, who teaches in the gender, sexuality, and women's studies department and the digital director for the Me Too International movement. I was just asking them about this and they literally said this is the best job they have ever had. And I am manifesting that for anybody in the world. I want everybody to be like, this is the best job I've ever had. Okay.
I'm like, this is the best job I ever had, honey.
Listen, I'm manifesting that for myself. Okay. They enjoy writing poetry, reading, and making their friends laugh. I love that. That's so sweet. They are all about service and showing up for their community. Kay founded alongside their sister friend a sister circle at the local high school called GLOW that focuses on teaching young Black girls and gender expansive folks about Black feminism and hip hop feminism. That sounds absolutely amazing. Can y'all do me a favor, okay, and welcome the one and only Kay Caulkill into the studio. Friend, bring her out. Bring them out. Bring them out.
Hey,
bring
them out. Bring them out.
Listen, Kay, I'm serious. I just want to applaud you for reaching out to us. When we were reading through your information, we like, hold up, they the bomb. They should have been on the Black Gaze Podcast. So thank you so much for reaching out. And we so excited to learn alongside you today, because I was talking to Dr. B and I was like, this is information that I don't even know about. Yeah. So I am just so hyped that we're going to learn from you. Other people are going to be blessed and also can think about how they can access some of the resources that you're providing. So thank you so much for being here today, Kay.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. So Dr. B, open up. Like, I'm ready. Get us popping.
First of all, I'm ready too, because honestly, I'm trying to learn something today. I feel like this is going to be really, really great, but we can't start no show without honoring the OGs.
That's what we do.
What I want is to ask you, Kay, what's up? I didn't get to.
Hey.
I want you to think of somebody who has inspired you to do this work around reproductive justice or just being an abortion doula, and just honor that OG. Let us know.
Yes. So the OG of all OGs, which I'm sure whoever knows about reproductive justice and listening to this will be like, I already know who she's going to say. Loretta Ross, because Loretta Ross started Sister Song. She is one of the founders of reproductive justice. So when you hear the term reproductive justice, it was started by Black women. Mm. Right. And people don't know that. Yes.
Everything.
Okay. Yes. So Loretta Ross is just a wealth of knowledge, and she's done so much work in the reproductive justice space, and she's also growing as an activist and just as a support, and realizing that like reproductive justice has to be more inclusive, because when they first started, they were talking about women, right? But now that we know that trans people and non-binary and gender expansive folks are also birthing people, she's been working to make sure that everybody feels included in the reproductive justice movement. And she's an OG for real. Like, she is still doing interviews. She is still on Instagram Live. She got her little social media popping. Listen, Loretta Ross be out here, but that's one of the OGs. And the second OG is Dorothy Roberts.
Come on, you got my spirit. You like the OG.
Yeah.
Hey, you got a Keisha spirit. You just gonna come plentiful, but go ahead.
Yeah, so the second one, and then I'm gonna stop because everybody else
is keep going.
The second OG is Dorothy Roberts, who wrote the book Killing the Black Body, which talks about reproductive justice and just the experiences of Black women dealing with like forced sterilization, birth control, how we were treated as Black women who are birthing people or just birthing people in general. And their book, Killing the Black Body, is so good. It's a heavy read, but I think that it is one of those books that when you read it, it helps you gain the language for things that you already knew, but you didn't know there was a name for it, and you didn't know it was happening as much as it is. So those are my two OGs that I want to shout out.
Listen, this is so amazing. And I think this conversation that we're having right now is so timely. And so my educators, I know y'all like, okay, what does this have to do with me? I want y'all to lean in, because I can hear is, you don't listen to the Clay Kane show on SiriusXM. Clay Kane always says, like, you might not see yourself in this story, but you better know that if they coming for us, they'll be coming for you later. So this might not feel like it's your story right now, but I'm sure there's somebody in your life that can benefit from this. So let's lean in. So let's get right into your testimony. I am so excited to learn about this, because this is not information that I'm aware of, Kay. So on a more personal level, what brought you to the work of being an abortion doula? And like, tell us what that is.
Sure. So I worked for Richmond Reproductive Freedom Project as the fundraising and sustainability coordinator for about 2.5 years. And I really enjoyed being in the reproductive justice space. I knew about like abortion and pro-choice and pro-life. Like, I knew about these things. I was always very sex positive, but I didn't really know a lot about reproductive justice. So when I started working for them, it was kind of like training on the job, like learning about these things as I was working. And when I left the organization, I knew that I still wanted to pour into the organization and also be a community member who did work around reproductive justice. So I said, okay, I want to be an abortion doula. I've always wanted to be a doula. That's something that I've wanted to do. But at first I was like, oh, I just want to be a birthing doula, like help people give birth. But with my own experiences with not being able to have kids and stuff, I was like, I want to work with a different population, because I don't think I'm emotionally in a place where I can handle being like a birthing doula. So being an abortion doula was the next best step. And what I realized was that being an abortion doula allowed me to not only act as a liaison between the person getting the services and the world that's against them, but also it allowed me to provide practical support. So an abortion doula, for those that don't know, we assist people with practical support. So that includes transportation to and from the clinic or hospital where they're having their procedure. My organization that I'm a part of in particular, we help them with lodging. So if they're traveling or they need a hotel to stay into, we provide childcare if need be. We provide food, care packages. We provide them resources to seek mental health services if they need to, or any like faith-based organizations that focus on reproductive justice. So for an abortion doula is literally just like a resource hub. And we, all the abortion doulas I know, at least, we take pride in making sure that we're able to show up for folks, whether or not they're getting an abortion, right? So you may not end up getting an abortion. You may have an abortion doula, have conversations with them and decide that you don't want to get an abortion. Our job as an abortion doula is not to make you feel bad for your decisions, is to support whatever decision you make and make sure that you have the resources and the access that you need.
So there's two things that you, so I'm going to just jump right into the questions because you just went into it. But there's one thing, because we are all PhDs up in here or getting PhDs. You said a word that I want you to take the time, because what we know is that we're in the era of fake news and people just take language and run and create narratives that are not true. Can you tell us what sex positive is?
Yes. Yes, yes. So sex positivity, and my breaking down my definition, and I believe in making language accessible. Am I allowed to curse on here?
Of course.
You were. I just wanted to make sure. So sex positive is this concept where you believe that people have the right to consent to any sexual acts that are consensual, right? And that they are open to talk about having these sexual acts. They're open to talk about pleasure, right? Prioritizing pleasure, prioritizing fucking, prioritizing not fucking, right? So your sex positivity can be, hey, I'm a demisexual and I only like to have sex with people that I feel close to, or I'm asexual and I don't want to have sex with nobody at all, right? But that doesn't mean that you can't be sex positive. It's understanding that like you have the choice and you can provide the consent for what you're interested in and what you want to do. And I think that sex positivity is just important, especially to Black women and femmes, because a lot of times, especially if we think about enslavement, so we're thinking about like Hortense Spillers, Mama's Baby, Papa's Maybe, or Sadia Hartman's Scenes of Subjection, Black women were seen as products of consumption, right? We were raped and no one got in trouble for raping us, right? We were abused and no one got in trouble for abusing us. So now we are in a space where we can make the decision on what we want to do with our bodies, right? Sex positivity allows Black women and femmes to be able to have autonomy over their own sexual experiences and over their body. And I'm all for that, right? So I love people like Megan Thee Stallion. I love hearing, right, the rap girlies talking about, like, if you're not pleasing me, I don't want you around me, right? Because a Black woman in film, our pleasure is just as important as our partners.
Come on.
So that's basically like a gist of what sex positivity is.
Oh, I love that you said this. Listen, for my folks who love to listen to Black Gays with your children, be mindful of if they're ready for this conversation, honey, because Kay did not come to play with us today. So, Kay, I'm going to jump. I'm going to like extend this question because you started to tell us what an abortion doula is. And I want to say something before we get into it, because I know we got a lot of conservative people who listen to our podcast and we appreciate that. But I just want to say, like, the one thing that Dr. B and I have been very clear about, and we actually had this conversation with Yoli about like Black women having autonomy over their bodies, and how like we haven't always been in a space where we've been able to actually articulate what we want. Like when you start talking about pleasure, like it's not just about our mates being pleased, but us being pleased too. Like this should be exciting for us too. But I wanted to say, like, why is your work as an abortion doula? So if you decide you don't want to get an abortion and you're not for abortions, then that's for you, okay? Yeah. So, but you should not be trying to control what other people do with their bodies. That's their choice. So why is your work as as an abortion doula so important, especially with the striking down of Roe v. versus Wade? And like, how, also with this happening, how do you as an abortion doula assist Black communities with access to services in that your community provides? Because I feel like, you know, especially with Black women, we can be very hush about our experiences with abortion or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, but we know that there are laws right now that are specifically attacking Black women's choices to do whatever they want to do with their body. So like, why is this work so important, and how can people access these communities, and they might not feel super comfortable to like come out and share their business? I definitely want you to lean into that.
Yeah, so I do abortion doula work a little differently than probably the average person. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of other abortion doulas that I follow on social media, but I use my social media as a space to invite birthing people from all over to reach out to me. I've had clients that had abortions in Italy. I've had clients that have had abortions 15 years ago and just needed someone to talk through it because they never got the opportunity to talk through it. So an abortion doula is not a therapist, because I'm going to send you to a therapist. I'm going to get you the resources for that. But we can kind of help you unpack some of the societal norms that may make you feel shameful about your decision. And also, another thing that I really enjoy about being an abortion doula is that you can point people to resources that they didn't even know exist. So one of the resources that I love pointing people to is, I believe it's called Faith Aloud, and it's a Christian organization that focuses on supporting folks who have had abortions, right? And you would never think anything like that existed, and you wouldn't know anything like that existed. So I think abortion doulas do a very good job providing those resources and providing people with access, right? So I want to talk a little bit about pro-choice versus pro-access language. So when I first got into the reproductive justice space, I was like, pro-choice, pro-choice, pro-choice. And then I learned that it's not pro-choice, it's pro-access, right? Because yes, a white woman has the choice to go get an abortion because she has access to $300 to $600 to pay for it. A Black person does not have that same access. Yes, they have a choice to get the abortion, but if you don't have access to transportation, food, lodging,
money,
support, childcare, right? You can't go get the abortion. So the abortion doula's job is to make sure that people have access to those things. And that's what the reproductive justice movement is all about. And since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, Virginia in particular has had an influx of folks having to travel here for their services. And that's because a lot of the southern states, you cannot get an abortion there after a certain time period. And I believe in Virginia, it's still 16 weeks. You can go up to 16 weeks before you can get an abortion, until you can get an abortion. And unfortunately, Virginia is seen as a safe haven state because people can come here and get the services that they need up to 16 weeks. But there are a lot of states that are not like that. There are a lot of people who live in states where there aren't any abortion clinics, there aren't any resources, and they have to travel outside of the state in order to get it. And Roe v. Wade made that even more difficult for people. Like, people thought that when Roe v. Wade got overturned, we would not have any more abortions. Abortions are going to happen regardless if they're legal or not. The real issue is, are they going to be safe?
Are they going to be safe? And then you think about access, right? Because I listen to a lot of talk radio. And so when you think about, like, it just bothers me when people act like, you know, Black women are just out here like, yeah, I want to have an abortion. Like, be mindful, like, people are making these decisions, and these are not easy decisions to make. But when we talk about not having access, like, white women are going to continue to have access to abortions, whether it's legal or not. The thing that why it's so important in Black communities is because we want it to be safe. We want Black women to still be able to live afterwards and not have to go to these other, you know, opportunities that might not be safe for them. And so when we talk about taking away opportunities, like, white women are still going to have access to abortions, right? And we want to make sure that if Black women decide, or Black birthing people decide to make that decision, that they have access to that decision.
Exactly.
I'm glad that you said that. That was so, so important. Friend, I'm going to let you go ahead.
I'm listening, and there's a couple of terms. This is an educational podcast right now. Yeah. And there's a couple of terms that we even have the title reproductive justice, right? And so I want to know, why is this important? One, what is reproductive justice? Can you break that down for the people?
Yeah.
And then two, why is this important for Black birthing people, broadly defined? Like, why is this reproductive justice something that we need to know about?
Yeah, so reproductive justice is the... Let me see how I want to put this. Reproductive justice is providing access through the means of safe shelter, safe schools, right? Access to food. So not being in food deserts, access to transportation, access to jobs, access to money, right? All of these things fall into reproductive justice because those things really play a role in the decision making for a lot of birthing people if they are going to have children or not, right? So if you live in a place that has a food desert, you don't have no public transportation, and the school system sucks, you may decide, you know what, bringing a child into this world right now is probably not the best bet, right? So reproductive justice is telling people that all of these things are systemic issues that need to be taken care of in order for people to feel comfortable to make the decision of whether or not they want to be a parent or parent children, right? So reproductive justice is not just about abortion, right? It's about the right to be a parent, the right to choose to be a parent, and the right to choose to raise children. I think that a lot of people don't realize that because when they hear reproductive justice, they immediately go to abortion. But reproductive justice includes things like sexual education in the school system, right? How are we teaching our students about sexual education? Are they being taught about purity culture, right? How does rape culture play into reproductive justice or survivor justice, which focuses on ending sexual violence? Like, all of these things play into reproductive justice. And I think that it's important to Black birthing people. And I use the term birthing people, like I said earlier, because it's not just Black women who are getting abortion. There are trans folks, non-binary, and gender expansive folks. And I know that's relatively new for a lot of people to say birthing people. But it's important to Black birthing people because we already have to make very hard decisions about how we want to live our day-to-day life based on the oppressions that we experience in this world. And bringing a child into this oppressive state, into this political climate, is a serious decision, right? And we have to be able to make that decision without fear for our life, right? And fear of not having access or money to do what we need to do. People should not be afraid that they're going to get arrested or go to jail because they want to get an abortion, because they don't want to have a child, because they're in a food desert, or honestly, because they don't want to have a child. Period. Right? Period. They shouldn't have to feel like they are going to be harmed or ostracized for making those decisions. And that's why reproductive justice is important to Black birthing people, because these are all systemic issues. Like, race plays a role in reproductive justice, right? A lot of people don't realize that Black women started reproductive justice. People think that it's a white person's movement because all you see are all these white women co-opting the movement and trying to make it, you know, something catchy like wellness. Like, they, you know, they co-opted the wellness movement. You know how they do. Yeah. So reproductive justice is important to Black people because it's for us. By us. Literally, it's a FUBU production for us, by us.
It's a FUBU production. I thought about FUBU, but you know what's interesting? My daughter is on the school board, and one of the things that happened was a non-melanated gentleman had came to the school board, and they talk about things that ain't even school related, but he was talking about how he wants to pray for Black children and the fact that Black people are having so many abortions and killing their babies. They don't even want their children. He just came with all of these different things, right? And so I'm thinking to myself, when we talk about reproductive justice, this is something that not only our community needs, but people all around need, because of the ignorance that's attached to who's having abortions. I've always seen that non-melanated women are more than likely to be the ones to run into an abortion clinic before somebody like us would be. So I'm really happy that we are touching base on this topic because it is important.
Friend, I'm so glad that you said that. So I think that, you know, we're going to go a little bit deeper, y'all. When you brought up the idea of shame, it made me think of the Black church, right? And I think about, and I'm not going to like go into all of the details, but my younger sister had her baby early. And I remember at 16, her first daughter at 16 years old. And I remember like her being sat down at the church and being like literally shamed. And when they decided, that she could return back to church, she had to apologize. I remember that day. Like, I remember that shame, right? And so it made me think about like our next question, especially in the Black community. And again, I'm gonna say this, like, your choice is your choice, right? In terms of your body. And I want to continue to advocate for that. But it made me think about our next question, like, how do we really advocate? Because we hear these people like, I'm pro-life, I'm not pro-choice. But how do we really advocate for pro-life, not just inside the womb, right? So we like, oh, we don't want you to have an abortion, but outside the womb. And I'm especially thinking about Black children of all ages in classroom spaces. Like, where is that pro-life energy in Black schools right now? You know, with Black teachers, where is that energy? So I wanted to hear your perspective, Kay. Like, how do we really advocate for pro-life, not just inside the womb, but outside of the womb too?
That's good.
So when I think about pro-life, pro-life is specific to a certain type of person, right? A cisgendered person, usually white, with access to money, who lives in the suburbs, who has generational wealth or generational money, who has a good job, who has a bevy of access to anything they could desire. So yeah, of course they're going to want to do pro-life. I also think about it in the aspect of enslavement. Yeah, of course you're going to say pro-life. You want us to keep having babies so they can go into the workforce. I've seen politicians and senators and Congress folks say verbatim that we need to be pro-life, because if we are not pro-life, then what's going to happen to the workforce? Right. And we know that when they say the workforce, they're not talking about doctors and lawyers. Right. They're talking about people who are doing blue collar labor work, the Black and brown people. Right. Who do the work that they don't want to do. That's what they're talking about. So we can't really be pro-life, because when we think about pro-life, they're not really caring about the life of the person who's carrying the child. They're caring about the life of, not even the life, they're caring about what that child can produce for the economy, right? It's rooted in capitalism when you think about it, right? Like, why would you want someone to have a baby that they can't take care of, or they're in a situation where they are just not ready to be a parent? Oh, because you want them to be able to grow up and feed into this capitalistic world, into this economy. So the pro-life thing is very strange. And also, pro-life is a control thing, right? You want to have control over people. That's it. It comes like, you want to be able to tell people what they can and cannot do with their bodies and what they can and cannot do with their children, right? Because when we think about, and you brought up a good point, Dr. P, when we think about how Black children are treated in the school system, pro-life is nowhere to be found, right? The adultification of Black girls in the school system, who are seen as fast-tailed Black girls, and they are not given the opportunity to be children, you don't give two shits about pro-life. You don't really care about the lives of these children, because if you did, the proof would be in the pudding, right? And it's not. You are more concerned about what these children can produce for you, and it's been like that since enslavement. They want to see what we can produce for them, what they can consume from us, and that is what their pro-life, in my opinion, is rooted in.
Okay. Listen, if I had some money, I put it in the daggone
plate. Well, I gotta get the offering cup.
Get the offering plate now. And even when you were saying that, it made me think about, like, even because I don't like to give non-melanated people a lot of space, because I feel like this is a conversation that we need to be having in our community too. But I just think about, like, okay, we push for, even in some Black conservative communities, we push for pro-life. But when these young girls have their babies early, we don't do nothing but shame them. So it's like, so if we are about pro-life, right, and we really about it, then why are we giving these Black young girls so much heat when they decide to have children, when they're not married, or, you know, like, whatever your expectations might be? Like, let us be about this for real. And I'm just using that word, you know, as a play on terms. But I think that we got to be mindful of, like, what we are actually buying into that really is harming our community. Like, and I think this leads into the final question, friend, that I think will really push us all. And I know this episode is making a lot of us say ouch, but guess what? When you say ouch, you just sit with it and then you say amen and figure out how you can, or a woman or whatever you decide. I want you to figure out how you can be better. But friend, I think this question is really going to move us into the action of how we can become better when we know that we have participated in cultures that have not been supportive of us.
And I think that for us, and you mentioned it earlier, the Black church, one of the things that often comes out of that particular place is judgment sometimes. And it's condemnation, but it's condemnation. Like, you get pregnant, you're unable to get your child baptized or get your baby dedicated. And to real story, for in full transparency, when I had my oldest daughter, I was 23. Yes, I was young.
I wasn't
like teenage young. And at the particular church that I attended, they would not do my baby dedication.
Shame.
Because of the fact that I had her out of wedlock, right?
Wow. But
the interesting thing is, maybe a year later, their teenage daughter gets pregnant. Mm-hmm. It changes the ways in which they engage. And I'm not condemning the Black church, because God has definitely called me to do things there. But I'm just saying that judgment, we have to be educated within our own community as to how to handle these types of situations. And so the question that I want to just leave us with is for you, Kay, is what advice would you provide for others to really be about supporting the autonomy over Black birth in people's bodies and the choices that they make? Some of these choices ain't choices that we making on our own. It's just based on circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my issue with all of this is people need to mind their damn business. That's the first thing. Like, if people would mind their damn business, we wouldn't need to be having these full-blown conversations of telling people how they could be better humans. Like, mind your business. What someone decides to do with their body about a choice of bringing a child in this world or not should not dictate how you feel about them. It should not dictate how you view them as a person. And it also should not dictate how you provide for them or provide support for them in the community. That should not be like your guide for how you're going to treat someone. And that goes for reproductive justice, survivor justice, that goes for the LGBTQ community, that goes for all that. Like, people don't know how to mind their business. And because they don't want to mind their own business, they're constantly trying to find ways to shame people, to guilt people into feeling bad for their choices and bad for the decision that they're making to better their own lives. Mm-hmm. I also think that we need to continue to have these open conversations within our community, and we need to be listening, active listeners, right? Not going into the conversation prepared to be contrarian or to have a rebuttal, not bringing up these fantastical, sensational stories that you heard that are not true about abortion.
That you just saw on Facebook, that's fake news.
Exactly. Or saying stuff like abortions are killing the Black community. Like, what are you talking about? Like, none of that is true, nor does it make sense. You sound stupid. And I think that people need to realize that they are wasting time arguing about things that are out of their control when they could be taking that time to educate and figuring out how to better support those in their community who are needing these services. Like, it is not hard to donate to your local abortion fund. It is not hard to not stand outside of the Planned Parenthood and tell people that they're going to hell for getting an abortion. Like, go to work. Take your kids to school.
That's something to do.
Why do you have your kids outside with you at the abortion clinic? Get a life. Like, get a life. Like, because you don't have one. You're trying to make somebody else's life decisions your life. And I also think that people need to do research. They need to read, and they need to read like actual factual things, like you said, not just the things you see on Facebook, not these fake news articles that people are reading and passing around. Like, you need to be actually reading things like Dorothy Roberts killing the Black body. You need to be reading these things, listening to these podcasts, paying attention to the conversations that people are having, and be willing to learn. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are willing to learn, you will see that like a lot of the things that people have biases towards are things because they're uneducated or because they're choosing to stay uneducated, right? Mm. A lot of people are willfully ignorant, and I think that it's really unfortunate, and it scares me. Like, the idea that in November, abortion can become illegal in Virginia is terrifying because as an abortion doula, the work that I'm doing is not legal, right? I just said we have people coming from states where they can't get abortions and we're providing them services in our state. That's illegal, mm-hmm. right? It shouldn't be, but it is. So we're putting our lives on the line so that people are safe, and we should have to do that. So I worry a lot about like what the future of reproductive justice looks like. But I also know is that people in the RJ field, especially Black and Brown people, we about that life. Like people gonna get abortions no matter what y'all do in the courthouse or in the Supreme Court. Like no matter what y'all decide, we're gonna find a way for people to get what they need because we've always done it. We've always done it. And people need to get on board. They need to get on board.
You know, the one thing that you said, like, about minding your business, like, that is a mic drop, right? But it's so simple because we talk about this a lot, Dr. B. Like, if you minding your own Black business, you don't really got time to be minding other people's business. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people all the time, like, this might not be your thing, but if we pull the covers back on some of the things that you've done, you wouldn't want that aired out. And so if you spend time minding your business, you don't have time to mind other people's businesses. So like maybe abortion ain't your thing, right? Maybe it's not something that you've done, but I know it's some other things that you've done that you won't want people to be minding in your business, right? And so I think it's so important. I'm so glad that you said that because most of the time when people be coming to me about things, I'm like, I don't know about that because I'm minding my Black business, right? So it's so important to continue to remind people like, what about that inside of you is getting you to lean into that space? Is it because you had an abortion before and you don't want nobody to know? Like, I think we just need to continue to do the work of like, why is this, you know, why am I in this person's business so much? And how is it showing me something about myself that I need to really be leaning into? So I just thank you for that. That mind your business like that. If you ain't get nothing else in this episode, it's about minding your business. So thank you so much, Kay. We got a lot to learn, and I'm so thankful that you are on this platform so that we can share this work because we have a lot of people from. We have a lot of educators that listen to this podcast, but we have people from all walks of life, from all ages that listen to this episode that may not, would have never leaned into a topic like this that I know are going to take it and be like, yep, I can do better in this space. And so we have a segment, Kay, because you know, we ratchet and we love it. We have a segment.
We ratchet and we love it.
Like we love being Black. I don't know about these other people who don't like it, but we love it. So we have a segment called What You Doing With Your Life? So we know you a doc student, but we just want you to tell us, Kay, and like make it as ratchet and real as you want. Like, what are you listening to right now? What are you watching on TV? Like, what are you engaging with? I know you you write poetry. I don't know if you perform it, like, but what are you engaging with? What are you doing with your life that the people should know about?
Well, unfortunately, most of my life is taken by this damn dissertation, and I'm currently in a fight for my life. My dissertation focuses on digital massage noir, and what's really cool is there's this charity organization called Glitch UK, and they had me do a 4-part series on their digital massage noir report. So follow them on Instagram and TikTok, and you'll see videos of me talking about digital massage noir. I am constantly traveling, so I don't get to watch a lot of TV like I would like to because I travel for work and school a lot, but I do enjoy watching Murder, She Wrote with my husband at SVU, child. Can't get enough. Listen, me and Murder, She Wrote, J.B. Fletcher, rest in peace to my girl. And I have been listening to the same R&B playlist for the past 6 months, but I do have a playlist called Girls and Girls, which is a playlist of Black female rappers and Black femme rappers, and I listen to that all the time.
I need you to share that, okay? Can you share it with us?
Yes, I sure can. I love that playlist. I listen to it all the time. I am a Megan Thee Stallion fan, so I'm constantly listening to Girls in the Hood and Meg's Piano on repeat. What else I've been up to? Playing in makeup and, you know, just trying to make time to enjoy the world, even though I be busy all the time, like whether it's going to Ulta or Target, going to get some food, making sure that every time I go out to eat, I get me an alcoholic beverage because it's a celebration every time I go out. I make everything a celebration. Yep, I celebrate every time I go out to eat. If they got liquor, I'm getting a drink because it's a celebration. Like, me being here and being able to be my full self is a celebration. So I'm gonna celebrate every single chance I get. So that's really what I've been up to for real, for real. I haven't been doing too much.
Listen, yeah. we got some connections because I love a good Target run, huh? I love a good meal. And listen, me and Dr. B, we literally share. I know we share a salad every time we go out, but listen, we go out and we share food. Like, you get this, and I'm gonna get this, and you get this, and I'm gonna get this because I want all of that. So I love that you said that, and I think. Even sometimes we're thinking about, like, we got to do it big. And I love doing it big. Dr. B will tell you, I love doing it big. But even just reminding y'all to do the small things that bring you joy. Yeah. Like, I love that you said, like, every time I sit down, I celebrate, okay? I love
it. Outside. Celebrate yourself.
Exactly. Everything is, I'm at a point in my life, and I don't know if this just happens when you get in your 30s where, like, I'm going to buy myself what I want. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to drink what I want. And I'm going to celebrate every step of the way. Like, if I did something that I'm proud of, I'd be like, you know what, girl, go buy yourself some lipstick. Or, like, you just did a podcast today. Perfect. Go buy yourself a makeup palette. I am going to treat myself every chance I get because I deserve.
But you know what? I'm going to be real with you. When you get 40, it get better. Because not only you do the things for yourself, but then you like, forget them people, honey. I'm going to do it by myself if I got to do it. You just embrace you.
Listen, and this world is a trailer park right now. Forget the ghetto. Mm-hmm. This is a trailer park. So you have to do as much. It is a trailer park we living in. So you have to do as much as you can to hold on to your joy. Shout out to Damaris Dunn, okay?
We're going to have us some joy. But listen, we're going to move to the next segment because Dr. P will keep you here all day and we ain't got all day. So I see you. So who is somebody that's right now doing this work that you're doing with reproductive justice, or they're an abortion doula, or they're just somebody that's supporting you as you dissertating right now, that you just want to say, look, I see you. I want y'all to follow them and look into the work that they're doing or whatever have you. So who do you see
right now? And I want you to honor somebody, Kay, because sometimes, and I love that you honored your OGs, but sometimes, and we love the Issa Rae spirit, like, who are the people that are right next to you, that are coming up with you, that you want to shout out, and I see you, like, because sometimes we always, like, we want to go to the person that's above us, but it's people right next to us that's killing it.
So, I have a person, and then a group. So the person, their name is IA Johnson, and they work for Apiary, which is a practical support abortion fund. They are my homie, my nigga. They are like my favorite person. We used to work at the abortion fund together, and they have been so supportive with me just on my journey of life in general. And they are just doing amazing work in the reproductive justice space. They're an amazing parent. They're just an amazing person all around, and they're real low key with it. And I really like that about them because they be doing some big shit and nobody be knowing it. They don't be knowing it. They're the ones that behind it. So I love that about them. And then I want to shout out my Work Like Beyonce group. So I host. Well,
you ain't tell us their name.
I said the name was IA Johnson.
Oh, IA Johnson. I messed that up. I apologize.
And then I want to shout out all my people with the Work Like Beyonce co-working group I created. We have been going strong for about 2 years, and we have people who have gotten their dissertations defended in it, people who have gotten new jobs, and I'm just really proud of all the work that they're doing and how much support they're providing me as I'm going through my own dissertation. And I really got to shout out my boo, my husband, because he accepts me for all of my weirdness and me and my dissertation. And he is just has been so helpful with just being supportive, whether it's, can you sit in the same room as me as I read this article and play video games? So I'm not sitting by myself, like small stuff like that. So those are the people that I want to shout out because I'm just really grateful for them. And shout out to my best friends. They know who they are. Like, you know, I'm just very thankful for my support system. I have been very blessed my entire life to always have a really good, like, outside support system, which has been great. So shout out to them.
Listen, first of all, I need to tap into what this Work Like Beyonce is, because that just stood out to me. But one thing I do love is the fact that you shouted out your husband, right? And just the ways in which he shows up. There's nothing like having that type of support in that kind of community. Kay, it has truly been a blessing to talk to you today. I feel like there's so many things that I have learned. I was excited about the topic of reproductive justice, but I didn't have no idea, first of all, it was started by Black women. I had no idea that it was also this thing called an abortion doula, in the work that an abortion doula does and how important this work is. So we are so thankful that you were able to just take time out of your busy schedule and that you was able to hit us up like, listen, because you know sometimes people be trying to hit people up, child, and we don't know what they about to say. But with you, yeah, you have a wealth of knowledge. Like, you have truly brought so much to this platform today. And so I want to end this with our church bulletin, okay? We gonna do our Black announcements. The first thing is, y'all, we think Twitter is dead, okay? It is dead. It rest in peace, Twitter. Y'all got X. I really ain't feeling X.
Pour some libations for Twitter because it's gone.
Listen, I say, because it's done. But the thing that I want, I can't laugh it. But the thing that I want to say about that is we are really moving into the YouTube platform. So we really need y'all to follow us on YouTube, share our YouTube video, subscribe, ring the bell, all them things that the people do on YouTube. Completely follow us, continue to follow us on Instagram. And for my grandma and them, follow us on Facebook. We also want you all to share this podcast. It is live in video and it is on all the podcast streams. Share it with your folks, but don't just listen on the podcast, but also watch it because we need those views. Y'all, we doing new things, big things. Friend, I'm going to leave it to you to go ahead and just finish us on out.
Well, listen, Kay, only like Black folks can do. We got to go out only like Black folks can do. So I'm a model for you, and then Dr. B gonna go, and then you gonna ride us out, okay? So,
okay.
It's your girl, Dr. Porcher.
And it's your girl, Dr. Bertrand.
And it's your girl, Kay.
And
we out.